أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. We continue discussing ayah number 90 of Surah An-Nahl. So in the first part of the ayah, there are three things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enjoined upon us. The first was al-adl, the second we spoke of al-ihsan, and the third, ita'i dhil-qurba, to give and to stand on one's relatives. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits us from three things, and He has declared three things completely unlawful for us that we should never do. So the first three things is something we have to do, and the last three things we should never do. So the first was ya'mur, now comes yanha. Ya'mur, Allah instructs you, Allah commands you, Allah enjoins upon you. Yanha, Allah forbids you, Allah prohibits you. From what does He prohibit you? Al-fahsha. Number one, al-fahsha. Number two, al-munkar. Number three, al-baghi. Three things. What's al-fahsha? Al-fahsha refers to shameless acts. Al-fahsha. Al-fahsha, acts that are known by everyone to be acts of immorality. Shameless acts. Right? You don't need anyone to pass a verdict or anyone to give you a fatwa to tell you that it is haram or that it is a sin. So acts such as zina, immorality, all these type of deeds and acts, these are all fall under the category of al-fahsha, openly known by everyone that they are shameless acts of immorality. That's the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from. Number two, Allah says al-munkar. Al-munkar is translated as evil deeds. But al-munkar refers to those deeds which authentic, reliable people of ilm and knowledge, scholars, have declared as an evil deed. So sometimes there are certain deeds that people feel that they are fine, or that you can do the deed and you can perform the act. But when you look at the ruling according to the scholars and according to the ulama, they have declared it as an act of vice. They have declared it as an act of sin. So that falls under the category of al-munkar. So not everyone deems it or sees it as an evil act, as a sin, but according to the scholars and according to the ulama, it has been declared as an act of vice, sin. This is munkar. Munkar, something that has been rejected. That is the literal meaning. Ankar yunkir means to reject something, to denounce something. Right? So that is al-munkar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever falls under the category of munkar as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits you from it. Wal-baghi. The third, Allah says al-baghi. Al-baghi literally means transgression. Al-baghi refers to transgression. So this refers to now a sin, a vice, an injustice perpetrated against somebody else. That is al-baghi. So al-fahsha and al-munkar are related to yourself. Acts that you are performing that are harming you and that are incurring perhaps the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the individual himself. And al-baghi is now an injustice, an excess, an act of crime that is now going to affect the next person. So all these type of sins Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He has prohibited us from. Allah says, ya'idhukum. Allah is admonishing you. Ya'idhukum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you some advice. La'allakum tadhakkarun, so that you may heed the advices of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you may realize the seriousness of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited you from and the benefits of that which He has asked you to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on instructing us how to behave when it comes to our mutual agreements and arrangements and the promises that we make with each other. And this falls under al-adl. This falls under the category of al-adl. Right? So you have an arrangement with somebody, there's an agreement with somebody, and you fulfill that arrangement and you honor the agreement and the promise. That falls under al-adl, exercising the justice that the other party deserves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ. Firstly, fulfill all the promises, the pledges, and the arrangements that you make with Allah. Right? Every one of us, there's a covenant that exists between us and Allah Azza wa Jal. And you know what's the significance of the day of Arafah? Every special night in the year has a certain significance or characteristic that makes the night special. So when we look at Laylatul Qadr, everyone knows Laylatul Qadr enjoys superiority over every other night because revelation of the Quran took place on that night. So that's the speciality of that night. Okay, when you go to the 15th night of Sha'ban, Laylatul Nisfi min Sha'ban, what's the speciality of that night that makes it so much different from other nights? That is known as Laylatul Nadra. Laylatul Nadra, the night of the special glance. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glances towards His creation, a glance of love, mercy, compassion and forgiveness. That is the significance of that night. We are going to experience Yawm Arafah, which is the best day of the year. The best day that you can ever experience during the year is Yawm Arafah. Right? And that's the 9th of the Hijjah. What's the speciality of that day? What's the significance of Arafah? What makes Arafah so great? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran speaks of a pact or a covenant that was taken from all of us in the world of souls. Remember, the soul it precedes the existence of the body. So the soul existed way, way, way before the body came into existence. The body is just a carrier, right? Carrying the soul from one realm into the next realm, right? So the soul was there, it was injected into the body, the body is carrying it to Alamul Barzakh, to the life after death, and then from there the soul is then transported into the life to come. Allah says in Alamul Arwah, there was a covenant, and Allah, Rasulullah SAW, it's in the Quran, it's known as Yawmu Alast. Yawmu Alast. Right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a covenant, and when He took the covenant, He used the expression Alast. Alast. Am I not? Right? Am I not? That's what it means. So that day is known as Yawmu Alast. When Allah had all the millions and billions and trillions of souls before Him, from the time of Adam alayhi salam right up to the last person to live on earth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a covenant from every one of us. What did Allah say? Alastu. Alastu bi rabbikum. Am I not your Rabb? That was the first, perhaps the first moment of interaction between ourselves and Allah. And it was direct. Direct. Alastu bi rabbikum. Qalu bala. Everyone says, of course, you are our Rabb. That was the response of the souls. That Yawmu Alast took place on Arafah, on the day of Arafah. So the day of Arafah is going to remind you of the pledge and a covenant you made with Allah. You need to renew that covenant. Every Arafah that we experience, it's about renewing my covenant, my pledge with Allah. Where am I as far as my relationship is concerned with Allah? You find some people, right, although it's not Islamic, but they use the anniversary day in marriage. They say the anniversary day is a day when we now renew. And we, once again, we remind ourselves of the pledges that we made to each other the day we got married. Again, though it's not Islamic, but just to understand, that is what this Yawm Arafah is about. It's about me renewing my pledge and my covenant with Allah, seeing how far I am in my relationship with Allah, where does the relationship need mending and adjusting in order to get it back to that level that it's supposed to be on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْفُوا بِأَهْلِ اللَّهِ. Number one, there's a covenant, there's a pledge you made with Allah. First covenant and pledge, an arrangement you made with Allah, you got to fulfill it. Right? Once you came into Islam or you were born a Muslim, there are many, many demands that are made on you. Fulfill every one of them. إِذَا عَاهَدْتُمْ. Whenever you make a covenant and whenever you make a pledge. وَلَا تَنْقُضُوا الْأَيْمَانِ. Then Allah speaks to the pledges that we make with each other. Al-Aiman, the oaths and the agreements that we have with one another and the oaths that you make in the name of Allah. Allah says, don't ever break the oath. وَلَا تَنْقُضُوا الْأَيْمَانَ بَعْدَ تَوْكِيدِهَا. After you have firmly taken oaths, don't ever break them. Right? وَقَدْ جَعَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَفِيدًا. And Allah says, all the time when you take an oath, when you take oath and when you swear, then you use the name of Allah. You make Allah a witness. Wallahi, I will do this. Wallahi, I will not do that. Wallahi, I will fulfill this. Wallahi, Allah says, you make Allah a witness to the promise that you make. You make Allah a witness to the covenant that you make and the agreement that you make with the next person. Don't ever break those promises after you have firmly made them. Inna Allah ya'lamu ma taf'alun. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of all the things that you do. May Allah grant us the understanding.